Thank you, Joseph. Thank you, church. It is great to be with you this morning. I really am thankful for the opportunity we have now to open the Word and be able to study further who Jesus is. This all came about because I'm teaching the book of Colossians on Wednesday nights in the fellowship hall, and Paul does a phenomenal job there through the Holy Spirit talking about Jesus. And so it got me to thinking, Jesus revealed exactly who He is. And so we started a series 2 weeks ago on the I Am statements of Jesus Christ. Before we get into this lesson, though, on Wednesday night, I told you all that today was the Lord's Day. And it was a great day, as Brother Ken just reminded us that it's a great day because God and our King is right here in the midst of us. But it's also a great day today because we have a family who has been visiting with us now for quite some time, that they have decided that they're ready to be a part of the Azalea City Church of Christ, and I cannot be more excited that they have made that decision. This family is a family of servants, and they are a great family who's already doing great things for the Lord here and in many other places. So today, I would like to officially welcome Cody, Hallie, Emery, Ellison, and Ezra Poe. And the majority of them are here. So I'm going to ask them to stand up. Here's the Poe family. Welcome to Azalea City. Cody is not only already teaching classes and such here, he's also co-teaching a class over at Mobile Christian, a Bible class with Justin, and so very involved in our area, very involved in our community, very hard workers, love them dearly, and I'm so thankful that they are part of Azalea City. Folks, great things are happening at this place. There are great families. There are families who have come and placed membership that have met with us as an eldership and said, this is where I want to serve. You just don't find that everywhere. And I am so thankful. There are so many great things happening. You know, we have a lot of folks here who know already who Jesus Christ is, and I'm so thankful for that. But just to keep reminding us of who Jesus is, Jesus said in John 8, verse 12, very bold, powerful, humbling to us and beautiful statement. As we ask the question, who is Jesus Christ? He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There's on 7 occasions, remember now, we're going back to what God said to Moses way back in the book of Exodus. When Moses was asking the question, who will I say sent me? You think about it. That was a great question, really. Moses hears from this burning bush that's being burned but not consumed. He's had to take his sandals off because he's on holy ground. He's hearing the voice of the Almighty. But the Almighty has said to him, I want you to go before the most powerful ruler in the world. And I want you to say, hey, you have my people. And my people do not want to be there anymore, and I do not want them there anymore. Let them go. Moses, I think, maybe a lot of us would be a little bit nervous there. Even though the Almighty's talking to us and giving us all the confidence in the world, trying to at least on his part, Moses said, who will I say sent me? God said, you tell him the I Am. The I Am sent you. The I Am is Yahweh. The I Am is God Almighty. He is Jehovah. He is the one true living God. Pharaoh, you're not a God. All those Egyptian gods, they're not me. And I'm going to tell you right now, you let my people go. Moses, you tell him I Am. Fast forward now, in John 1, what do we learn? We learn that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know that Paul said that Jesus could have made Himself of the same reputation as God Almighty. Jesus Christ said Himself, "If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father." So on 7 occasions in the New Testament that is recorded when Jesus used those words, "I am." Here specifically He says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows Me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." Who is Jesus? Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We live in a dark world. Man, I will not depress you with details. We could pull up, and by the way, I do not read the news, I do not watch the news, but occasionally I hear the news. Does that make sense? I used to watch it, I used to read it, but it used to depress me. It used to consume me. And I said, I don't need that in my life. And so I purged it out. Because if we wanted to, we could bog down in so much negativity, so much hurt, so much garbage that people are doing to children, that people are doing to other human beings, that people are doing to other colors of skin, that people are doing to all kinds of evil around us, right? There's all kinds of darkness around us. But in the darkness, Jesus Christ is the light. And I am so thankful to God for that today. The same man, Jesus Christ, had already proclaimed in John chapter 6, verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me shall not hunger, and he who believes in Me shall not thirst." He also said in John 7, 37 and 38, "If any man is thirsty, let him come unto Me and drink. He who believes in Me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the one who can make your thirst go away, your hunger go away, your darkness go away. Remember, He first claimed to be that living water at the woman at the well. A woman who was trapped in darkness. A woman who didn't know what she was really doing in life. Her life had lost its purpose. But Jesus told her, "If you drink from Me, if you drink from My well, you will never thirst again." And He told her about her life, and He told her about the things she was dealing with, and she said, "Only the prophet or the Messiah who's coming can tell Me these things." And remember, He said that statement. He said, "I am He." Today, spiritually, we may be living in a dark place. Today, spiritually, we may be hungry and thirsty. If you came into this assembly today lost spiritually, starving spiritually, thirsting, I have good news for you. The I Am is here. He is the one who will see us out of these places. Now listen, as Jesus made these claims, one had to ask the question, is this man some crazy religious lunatic, or is this man God in the human flesh? You know, in so many ways, we have to ask the same question today, right? Is this man who claimed that Terry, you just said, that Ken Murphy just said, is in the midst of us today, is sitting on his throne, is this man a lunatic? Or is he really Lord? The good news is we already know the answer. But here's what I want you to understand about that question or that statement Jesus said. To make the statement, "I am the light of the world," and all these other things that he talked about, these bold claims to deity demand a response. You hear me? They demand a response. So if today You came in a dark place. Today, if you came in hungry spiritually, today, if you came in thirsting spiritually, and you leave out of here realizing that the I Am is here, the one that can make the darkness go away, He can fill you spiritually. If you make that conclusion, then it demands a response. Here's the response. You will either leave here claiming Him to be lunatic, or you will leave here claiming Him to be Lord. That is the only conclusions we can make. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 7, please. John chapter 7. I want to read verse 40 and verse 41. John 7, beginning in verse 40. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, truly, this is the prophet. But then there's verse 41. Others said, this is the Christ. Now skip down to verse 53, because we're painting the scene to the next chapter. After all these are rumbling about in the fellowship that they're in the crowd that they're in, some are saying, basically, this man is crazy. Some are saying this man must be a prophet. Others are saying, no, this man is the Christ. Well, here's what happens. Everyone went to his own houses. Now go to John 8. Really, the chapter break, you know, it's the whole scene is right there together. So now John 8, let's read verses 1 through 12 together. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. They went to their own houses. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, He came again into the temple. And all the people came to Him. And He sat down and taught them. Now listen, in that crowd, there are those that claim He's a lunatic. There are those that claim He's just some prophet out there. And then there are those that say He is the Christ. Verse 3, then the scribes and Pharisees brought to Him a woman caught in adultery. Shame on them, right? There's a whole different scene. There's a whole bunch of different sermons in this lesson. But the scribes and the Pharisees were the religious people of the day. And they are not bringing this woman who's caught in darkness to the light. They're bringing her here so that they can trick Jesus into being a lunatic. There are a lot of religious people in this world that are sitting on their own throne. They said to Him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery. By the way, they brought her right into the middle of the whole crowd. What, did she have clothes on? I'm not sure. She was caught in the very act of adultery. Can you imagine the scene, the embarrassment, the shock value? Now Moses, verse 5, in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? Remember earlier, the murmur is, this could be a prophet. This could be some other guy out there. That's what the scribes and Pharisees thought, some crazy guy, some guy that they were trying to disprove. Or this is the Christ. Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? This, they said, testing Him, that they might have something of which to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with His finger as though He did not hear. The master of self-control. So when they continued asking Him, He raised Himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. You think there was some silence now? And again, He stooped down and wrote on the ground. I like to think He's writing their sins, the laws that they've broken. I have no idea what He really wrote. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone. And the woman standing in the midst. And folks, I need you to see this scene. Jesus, the light of the world, is standing with the representation of darkness. When Jesus had raised Himself up and saw no one but the woman, He said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." In the context that that verse is written, I do not know that there can be a better representation, a better illustration than what John recorded for us. You had a lot of darkness in that room. You had darkness from sin in that room. And you had darkness from envy in that room. Those of envy never saw the light. Those from adultery, she walked out of there a free woman. Jesus Christ, the I Am, is the one and the only one who could have done what He did that day. So what does it teach us? What do we learn about Jesus Christ today? Maybe I'm not caught in the act of adultery, but maybe I have another sin right here that others are wanting to throw stones at me. Maybe I think that others are looking down on me. Maybe rightfully so, because I am stuck in the midst of darkness. If Jesus Christ is the light of the world, that is a claim to deity. And that claim demands we respond. The scribes and Pharisees, they walked out one by one. They didn't throw any stones that day, but they still plotted to kill Jesus Christ. But that adulterous woman, I like to think that she became part of Jesus' ministry. I like to think that she went everywhere telling about what this great man had done for her. How He didn't condemn her. How He didn't throw a rock at her. He was the only one that could throw a rock that day. But instead of throwing rocks, He threw forgiveness. Because He's the light of the world. So what does Jesus claim to be the light of the world teach us? Number one, Jesus' claim to be the light of the world is a claim to be God. You see, today if I accept that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, then I accept that Jesus Christ is God. Light is oftentimes throughout the Scriptures used as a metaphor for God. Psalm 27:1 proclaims, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." In a prophecy about Jesus Christ, Matthew 4:16, Isaiah 9:2 predicts it this way, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on him." Now that's recorded again in Matthew 4:16, but Isaiah said it a long time ago before Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 42:6 and Isaiah 49:6, the Lord tells His servant Isaiah about the Messiah, that He has appointed Him to be a light to the nations, or to the world, according to John 8, verse 12. In Isaiah 60:19-20, God says to His people, "No longer will you have the sun for light by day, nor for brightness will the moon give you light. But you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and your God for your glory. Your sun will no longer set, nor will your moon wane, for you will have the Lord for an everlasting light. By the way, all this is fulfilled. Mitch Henry last week talked about prophecy being fulfilled. It's fulfilled right before our eyes in Revelation 21, 23 and 24, where instead of the sun and moon, the nations have the Lamb as their lamp. And that Lamb is identified as the Lord God, Revelation 22, 5. Also, 1 John 1, verse 5, Gabriel read it to us earlier. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Jesus claimed before the people, before the woman, to be the light of the world, reveals that He, that God, is absolutely pure and holy. Since Jesus is the light, He is without any sin, John 8, 46, Hebrews 7, 26. Jesus' claim to be the light of the world is Jesus telling the world that He is God. So today, in a dark world, we need God. We might say we need God more than ever. Noah's day, they might have said they needed God more than ever. I think it depends on the generation. I think it depends on the time. Sin is sin. It's been sin forever. But now we have a lot of access to it. So today, as I think about my life and I examine where I am and I challenge myself, I need to know, have I accepted and surrendered my life to the light? That is, to Jesus Christ. That is, to God, the everlasting light. Jesus claimed to be the light of the world, secondly, means that He reveals the truth about God to us. As Jesus states in John 8, 14, He has come from the Father and He is returning to the Father. He will further reveal He and the Father are one, John 10, verse 30. He also says, the one who has seen Him has seen the Father, John 14, verse 9. John 1:18 put it this way, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. So therefore, Jesus uniquely reveals to us the truth of who the Father is and what He is like. You see, God the Father, God the Son, they are not what the world tries to paint them to be. You know who God is? God is Jesus. You know who Jesus is? He is the light. You know who the light is? He is the one that could have thrown the stones at that woman, but He chose to love her and meet her right where she was. You might say today, oh, I've got sins worse than her. First of all, sin is sin. It's all separation from God. There is no degrees to it in God's eyes. But you might feel that way because the world paints it that way. You might think there's nothing I could do to come to know Jesus Christ. Well, I want you to know that you don't need to think that God is waiting to squash you. He's actually waiting to love you. He's waiting to hold you. He's waiting to help you. He's waiting to forgive you. He does not have rocks in His hands waiting to stone us. He's got love in His heart waiting to forgive us. And Jesus claimed to be the light of the world shows us the Spirit of God and who God really is. Now, if we have a hard time getting our brain around the fact that we can't see God today, He's invisible, and that He dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, 1 Timothy 1:17, then we need to look to Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ reveals the truth. Jesus is truth. And that truth is what sets us free. Jesus claimed to be the light of the world, tells us, reminds us that He is God. And that I am what God looks like and is like. We can only know the Father through the Son. Luke chapter 10, verse 22. Thirdly, this morning, Jesus claimed to be the light of the world means that He reveals the truth about us to us. He reveals the truth about God to us, but He reveals the truth about us to us. In John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, Jesus knew all men, and He knew what was in a man. Apart from Jesus Christ, do we really even know who we are? You know, I've preached a lot over the years about identity, about who we really are. I go up and introduce myself to someone outside these doors, and they say, "Hey, I'm so-and-so, and I am an engineer." Because their identity is in their job. You know, you look on a vehicle today and you know who the people identify with their sports teams, right? Or their family, or their honor roll student, or whatever it may be. You see it. Why? Because that's who they are. That's their identity. Their identity is in a sports team, or their identity is in their family, or their identity is in the accomplishments of their children. And again, folks, I'm not saying any of that is bad in itself. It's okay to have a job. We got to have that. It's okay to have families and be proud of them. It's okay to love your sports teams, but that can't be our identity. No, today, if you're in the light of the world who is God, who revealed what God is like to us, if we walk in Him, then our identity must be in Jesus Christ. You see, you heard me say this before, behind this wall, there is water. It's just tap water that comes out of a spigot, that comes out of a faucet. But what that water represents is a death. It's a grave. And so what happens is, today, if my identity is in me, if today I came in living about me, myself, and I, or living about some other identity that I find some kind of temporary satisfaction in, but I don't have any true joy, and I'm walking in darkness, if today I came in living that way, and I submit myself that I want to follow Jesus, then I've got to put that person to death. And I do that spiritually by being immersed in water for the remission of my sins. Once I'm under that water, God contacts me with the life-giving, life-saving, life-changing blood of Jesus Christ. And when I come up out of that water, I am no longer identified as selfish Terry, because it's not about me anymore. Today, Jesus Christ wants us to know that if you walk in the light, that He is your identity. When we do not know God, we call evil good and good evil. We substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. We become wise in our own sight, Isaiah 5, 20 and 21. We think we know where we're going, but we're dead wrong. We deceive ourselves and we end up ruining our lives and the lives of those around us because we have an influence. Paul combines the imagery both of darkness and spiritual death when he says in Ephesians 4:18 that unbelievers are darkened in their understanding excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Jesus simply says, if we follow Him, we will have the light of life. When you're spiritually dead, you need God's resurrection power to impart new life to your soul. Jesus promised that if we follow Him, we will not walk in darkness, but we will have the light that gives life. And then we will know exactly whose we are. Finally this morning, as we ask ourselves, who is Jesus Christ? And we hear one answer being, I am the light of the world. What does this claim mean? Jesus' claim to be the light of the world means that He reveals the truth about God to all people. Jesus is not just the light of the Jews. Jesus is the light of the world. And I want you to know, He is the only light of the world. Paul says in Colossians 2:3 that all treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. That wisdom and knowledge applies to all people. Again, apart from God, apart from Jesus Christ, people are in spiritual darkness. The Bible says that we know who Christ is. The people we know who are in Christ shine as lights in the world. Matthew 5:14, Philippians 2:15, Ephesians 5:18. Christ is the true light. We just reflect Him. He's like the sun, and we're like the moon. Tonight, it's amazing when we look up in the sky. I don't know what phase of the moon we're in, but let's just pretend tonight there's going to be the biggest full moon we've seen. One of those giant ones, right, that you see all the people take the pictures of. That you can see it beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's a clear night. It's gorgeous outside. There's no clouds in the sky. You go up and you look and you see that huge moon and you say, man, that thing is shining bright. There's nothing lighting that moon up. All it's doing is reflecting the sun. The world will know that you're my disciples if we have love for one another. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The second is likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and prophets. So when I go out in the world and I share the love, and I share the message, and I live the light, people don't have to say, that man has light shining in him. They'll know that you're reflecting the light that is living in you. Jesus makes this astounding claim. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. His claim to be the light of the world reminds us and reveals to us that He is deity. That He is God. And I told you at the beginning of this, if we know that Jesus Christ is God, if He has a claim to deity, then it demands a response. Either way, it demands a response. But it demands a response. What is the response? We'll close with where we started. 1 John 1, 5 through 7, our scripture reading, to prepare us for today. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Today, the response is this: choose the light. If you choose the light today, here's what happens. He rescues you out of darkness. You submit your life to Him by being baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Once you're in the blood, it did not say in that scripture, the blood of Jesus cleansed us from our sins one time. It's written in the present tense. It cleanses us. That means it's always working, always washing. And so today, if you step out of darkness, you never have to step back in it again. But if today you claim He's Lord and you're still walking in darkness, then you're living a lie. And the truth of God is not in us. So today we have a choice. Jesus is the light of the world. How are we going to respond? The choice is yours. You have the opportunity right now as together we stand and sing.